This is a reading from Len Bertain of the War on Waste Innovation, Part 5, Added Value, or Value Added. There are a number of ways to define this term. We define it simply as what customers are willing to pay for. In any business, everyone needs to understand why the business exists and how it makes money. As we do in the War on Waste, we ask a very simple question. What does this company do to add value? Of course, the answer to this simple question serves as the basis for the War on Waste. So the question, what is waste, is intimately tied to the company's value-added activity. There's an interesting thing that happens in the War on Waste. As employees start to identify waste, they are reflecting the effectiveness of a company's ability to deliver value. All those things that occur in a company that keep value from being added efficiently are wastes. During the War on Waste, we look at a company's value-added proposition very carefully. And the process for doing that is very thorough. What we have found out is that very few employees of companies have any clue as to what the company does to add value. When we ask a typical employee of a machine shop, what does this company do to add value? It is amazing that most of them have never thought about it. After a few minutes of discussion, someone notes that it's obvious that a machine shop only makes money one way, when chips are being produced. But then some wise guys asked if they are adding value when they do assemblies for their customers. Of course. Customers are paying a small fee for the assembly. And then one of the ladies in the quality department asks, what about our military customers that also pay to inspect their parts? Of course, that's value-added work as well. In some of our earlier work with companies, I would walk into a company with a simple business and no one could tell me what they did to add value. What do the customers pay for? Gradually, they are able to see the correlation between the term value-added and what they do for customers and what customers are willing to pay for. I remember having a very interesting discussion with employees over 25 years ago at a small bank serving the needs of high-profile executives. When I asked, what is it that you do to add value, the room was silent. Of course, people put money in the bank and expect a number of services to be provided in addition to interest on the loans. But for instance, what is the value-added part of the loan processing service? That may be clear to anyone reading this book, but it wasn't to those in the room. So who does the value-added work in processing a loan? Who does that? There was a very important question, because once we knew who added value, we could determine what the right work of the bank should be. We use the term right work as contrasted with working right, because if you are delivering value and the wrong work is being done right, then that is still waste. So when we analyze the value-added proposition of the bank, we analyze the current workflow and found out that the wrong work was being done. For instance, when a loan was initiated for a wealthy individual, the loan documents were put into a single folder. And as the folder passed through the various clerks and administrators of the bank, it went serially from desk to desk. So I asked why. Why does it go serially? Why couldn't it go in a parallel fashion to those who had a need to know and serially to the key document signers? Someone said, it's required by federal law to do it that way. Whenever I hear that, it's like a red flag. The red carpet, red cape of challenge has gone up and I charge. So the first thing we did was find what federal law was it that said this. Of course, there was none. When we went to the chairman of the board to explain our problem, he was really surprised that someone had introduced the federal government into the equation unnecessarily. But they had done that over 20 years earlier. Once we found out that there was no governing law, federal law, that said how records should be processed, we had gotten to the root cause of the problem. We could now define the right work, and we did. But we needed to determine the optimum flow for the signatures, and we did that. One of the neat problems that we solved increased the speed of the loan through the system, and it was this simple concept. The loan documents started before all the papers were finally in. Usually the individual's tax documents were the last things in. So when we got all the documents, but these tax papers, we started processing the loan documents. We even got the loan committee on a number of cases to pre-approve the loan pending acceptable tax records. So when these last papers hit the bank, it was on red alert. These were bankers ready to rock and roll. They were able to tell their clients that if they got their documents in the door, they could have their loan papers ready to sign the next day. In fact, in most cases, they were able to do so in 3 or 4 hours. They developed a neat little red alert system. It went something like this. When the last document hit the bank, it was placed in a red folder. The red folder was now on red alert. If the red folder hit your desk, anyone in the company, and I mean anyone, could alert you to that fact wherever you were. In fact, the red folder got everyone in the company on alert that the final loan papers were in-house, ready for approval of the loan. This example points out a couple of interesting points about the term value added. First, once employees know that the value added has something to do with how the company makes money, then they can get involved in looking at the company's inefficiencies in doing so. That is what the war on waste is about. A second point is that very few companies are clear about all the ways they make money and how these different ways are tied to strategy. In the definition of strategy, as per Michael Porter, it is any number of value propositions. A value proposition is a statement to the market of what a company does to make money, or a statement of how it adds value. The interesting part of this logic is that the war on waste is intricately tied to an analysis of the effectiveness of the company strategy. If the implementations of the various value propositions or the added value activities are flawed, then the strategy is flawed. This is exciting stuff to think about, because if you work at a company and you think to know the strategy, then go down to the lowest working person in the company and see if you can determine whether there is a correlation between what the workers are doing and the defined strategy. And a more important issue, do the workers know the company strategy? As a thought to consider, in the example of the bank, how did the war on waste help align the company's strategy with process? A number of years ago, I ran into this quote from Kanesuke Matsushita, the founder of Matsushita Electric in Japan. This quote served as my initial call to action in literally all my war on waste projects from 1988 on. His quote: "We will win and you will lose," he says. "You cannot do anything about it because your failure is an internal disease. Your companies are based on Taylor's principles." Taylor, by the way, was Frederick Winslow Taylor, who propagated the principles of scientific management in industry and business. He was Henry Ford's time and motion expert. "Worse, your heads are Taylorized too. You firmly believe that sound management means executives on one side and workers on the other. On one side, men who think, and the other side, men who can only work. For you, management is the art of smoothly transferring the executive's ideas to the worker's hands. We have passed the Taylor stage. We are aware that business has become terribly complex. Survival is very uncertain in environments increasingly filled with risk, the unexpected, and competition. Therefore, a company must have the constant commitment of the minds of all of its employees to survive. For us, management is the entire workforce's intellectual commitment at the service of the company without self-imposed functional or class barriers. We have measured better than you the technological and economic challenges. We know that the intelligence of a few technocrats, even very bright ones, has become totally inadequate to face these challenges. Only the intellects of all employees can permit a company to live with the ups and downs and the requirements of its new environment. Yes, we will win and you will lose, for you are not able to rid your minds of the obsolete Taylorisms that we never had. Kanesuke Matsushita published that in 1988. Think about it. Is he still right? Common cause. One of the early observations about the war on waste was that it got employees to rally around what we call a common cause. Serving on a project team during the war on waste amounts to finding a waste and eliminating it with a CEO-approved solution. The project team rallies around the project that becomes the team's common cause. We have observed that successful project teams need to be clear about their common cause in order to be successful. Our reason for pushing teams to rally around their project is that otherwise, the spirit of individualism takes over and chaos ensues. If an individual on a team has an idea and is willing to work with others on the team to improve the idea, then the team has a chance to succeed. The common cause is the part of the team's raison d'etre that is missed in many tomes written about creating teams. Without the common cause, the team doesn't exist. Barry Bonds was endowed with wonderful and powerful individual assets as a baseball player, but even he knew that given certain situations, he might have to take a pitch in a given situation that would improve the chance of winning. Fortunately, most individuals are delighted to collaborate on a realistic plan of action that will allow a team to win. And that is what the common cause is all about. It defines how a team will win. And we make the common cause even easier to identify. We tell employees that they have to quantify a waste of at least $100,000 and can't spend more than $2,000 to fix the problem. That gives everyone a clear goal. They have to work together to figure out how the identified problem causes waste in the company and quantify these things in hard dollars. And then they need to figure out a solution that doesn't cost a lot of money. And that sometimes takes a lot of thought. But the fun thing, there have been over 10,000 teams that have done this before, so it isn't impossible. Discovery. Discovery is the process that a team will go through as it tries to understand why a particular problem exists. It involves trying to reach the root cause of the problem. It is a search to discover what's so in a company. In particular, the Black Knights must be managed during the discovery stage of the war on waste because the process challenges them, their base of control, and their existence. So during the discovery, each team should challenge important ideas and conclusions, pose incisive questions, and design specific observations or experiments to obtain definitive answers. Explore unexpected or puzzling events as opportunities. Put effort and capability into creating adequate test methods. Scrutinize information for bias. Evaluate the validity of the measurements. As uncertainties arise, the process requires that the problem-solving teams resolve these uncertainties. Leave room for doubt. Do not stifle it. Recognize and acknowledge ignorance. Decide what is known or poorly known. What would be valuable if known? Decide what information is needed and how to get it. The facilitator must guide the teams in testing facts and ideas. Clearly, we want new ideas, but the facilitator has certain rules to follow. Be clear about the rules for converting data to fact. Check offered facts for evidence and validity. Test hypotheses of solutions using common sense where possible. These are all part of the process of improving tribal knowledge. They are part of the fundamentals of the scientific method. They serve as the foundations for the managers and executives who are supervising the process of improving tribal knowledge. If they fully understand the above, they will be doing okay. That is the end of part 5 of chapter 1. If you want to find more about the War on Waste, you can go to our website, thewaronwasteacademy.com, or read more about it by going to Create Space and buying Lynn's books at a discount at lynnbertainsbooks.com. Thank you very much. We'll see you in chapter 2.